Amber, fossilized tree resin, is a remarkable substance that can give scientists a unique window into our planet's prehistory. As anyone who has watched Jurassic Park will know, amber can preserve the bodies of tiny insects and other creatures for millions of years, freezing these ancient animals in almost perfect condition for all this time after they became trapped in the sticky resin. Although extracting ancient DNA from such fossils remains impossible, so we won't be getting any prehistoric theme parks just yet, there have still been some absolutely mind-blowing recent amber discoveries. From a dinosaur's fluffy tail to a 20 million year old flea preserved with plague bacteria, let's take a look at five prehistoric creatures found trapped in amber. Firstly, one particularly stunning amber fossil preserves the partial body of a prehistoric gecko. This lizard was discovered in Russia, in an amber deposit that was formed between 54 and 34 million years ago. Only the front part of the body is preserved, but the entire head is intact, as is most of the right forelimb, with only the tips of the fingers missing. As preserved, the gecko was just 15 millimeters long, or about 0.6 inches. So this would have been a very tiny animal, which makes sense, since larger animals would be able to escape from the tree resin and so wouldn't end up getting preserved. It's not certain if this was a fully grown individual when it became trapped, however. This gecko was recognized as belonging to a species that was new to science, and so it was named Yantarogecko balticus. Lots of very fine details of its anatomy can be seen thanks to the amber preservation, including all of the tiny scales across its body and the fact that it lacks movable eyelids, like most modern geckos do too. Its fingers were also very asymmetrical, with digits 1 and 2 being much smaller and thinner than the others. The details of the hand also reveal that Yantarogecko had the adhesive system of modern geckos, which would have allowed this prehistoric species to cling to vertical surfaces. It has the broad toe pads typical of geckos with this ability, plus you can even see the layers of plate-like structures running down the tips of the toes, which in modern geckos have many very tiny hair-like filaments all along them, enabling the lizards to make use of van der Waals forces to stick to things. So it seems that Yantarogecko was a tree-living gecko that clambered about on branches using its sticky toes to get about, also explaining how it ended up becoming caught in tree resin. Yantarogecko therefore also shows us that climbing adaptations had evolved in the gecko lineage by at least 54 million years ago, going by the older date for the amber formation. So these lizards have been capable climbers for a very long time indeed. This prehistoric gecko also demonstrates how climatic conditions have shifted over time, since at the time this reptile lived, during the early Eocene epoch, the Earth was a greenhouse world, lacking permanent ice caps unlike today's modern ice house world. At this generally warmer time in Earth's history, geckos clearly had a much wider distribution across the planet, being found at much higher northern latitudes, considering this species was found in northwestern Russia. These areas therefore must have had very different ecosystems at this time, including reptile species that today typically inhabit tropical and warm temperate environments. So Yantarogecko is a truly fantastic amber discovery, showing some extraordinary details of this tiny little lizard, and preserving a moment of prehistory for many millions of years. Our second fossil is the rather incredible discovery of a dinosaur's tail trapped in amber, dating back to around 99 million years ago during the Cretaceous period. This mind-blowing find comes from the amber deposits of Myanmar, and the tail itself is absolutely covered in feathers, further proving, without much room for doubt, that many dinosaurs were indeed feathered. The tail is about 37 millimeters, or almost 1.5 inches long as preserved. It most likely comes from some sort of small juvenile Maniraptoran dinosaur, so it would be related to dinosaurs such as the raptors, oviraptorosaurs, and ornithomimosaurs, although its exact identity cannot be determined with much certainty as it is just a tail. But it's definitely not a tail from a bird, since it has too many vertebrae for any known prehistoric bird, and the anatomy of the feathers themselves show that they were not flight feathers. They instead look more like ornamental feathers. As such, whatever dinosaur this tail came from would not have been able to fly, so these feathers were likely for displaying to others or to help insulate the fluffy little dinosaur. The feathers themselves are preserved in extraordinary detail, with all the individual tiny filaments visible. Notably, the feathers do not have a well-developed central shaft, known as a rachis, like in many modern feathers. The fact that the feathers have many fine filaments branching off from the midline therefore shows that these barbs, with their even smaller barbules, evolved before the rachis, helping us better understand the order in which the main features of the modern feather structure evolved. Incredibly, some traces of possible colour are preserved in the tail feathers too. The feathers still retain some traces of their pigmentation, and even through the amber, you can see that certain feathers are much darker than others. It seems that this dinosaur probably had chestnut brown plumage running down the top surface of the tail, while the underside was a paler colour, possibly almost white. This type of contrasting coloration is not surprising to find. Having a dark upper part of the body and a lighter underside is called countershading, and it's a type of cryptic coloration that helps to break up the outline of animals, letting them remain unseen by predators and prey alike. Not only is there evidence of color left, but the scientists who studied the specimen also found that, trapped within the amber, there were traces of what might be decomposed remnants of the oxygen-transporting protein hemoglobin and the iron-storing protein ferritin. Now, of course, this doesn't mean we're about to extract dinosaur DNA from the tail, as those molecules will have long decayed, but it's pretty stunning to think that we might have detected the traces of proteins from a dinosaur that lived almost 100 million years ago. The way that the remaining muscles, ligaments, and bits of skin cling to the tail bones in this amber specimen suggests that they might have undergone some level of desiccation before being preserved in amber. So it's possible that the juvenile dinosaur this tail belonged to had already died and begun to dry out before the tree resin encapsulated the severed tail. Alternatively, it might have just been so small that when it got its tail stuck in the sticky resin, it was unable to escape and died because of this. It wouldn't have been able to shed its tail and regrow a new one like some living lizards, so in this hypothetical situation, the tail must have somehow been torn off. Although it was an unfortunate end for this tiny fluffy dinosaur, it's another mind-blowing amber discovery, showing us how feathers evolved and even telling us what colour this creature might have been. Next up, how about this as an idea for a future Jurassic Park film? Instead of extracting dinosaur DNA from an insect in amber, they accidentally extract bubonic plague bacteria. Well, it's not too far off from reality, as in 2015, a paleontologist described a 20 million year old flea trapped in amber that appears to have this kind of bacteria still inside it. This piece of amber came from the Dominican Republic, and it contains an extinct species of flea unrelated to most modern ones. Fossilized fleas are rare finds, so scientists were already excited about its discovery. But upon examining it closer, they realized there were some even tinier microorganisms on this creature. Looking at the rectum of the flea, they saw clusters of bacteria attached to it that have shapes very much like the bacteria responsible for the plague, a species called Yersinia pestis. Although it cannot be said with absolute certainty that these are definitely Yersinia bacteria, they've got the right characteristics and they're in the right place, since in modern fleas they're also found in the rectum. Not only that, but there's also a dried droplet on the end of the prehistoric flea's mouth part that contains more of the bacteria. So it seems the way they might have been transmitted was also very similar to modern plague bacteria. The discovery of possible plague bacteria in a flea that's at least 20 million years old is very interesting. Studies of the genetics of Yersinia pestis have shown that the strains of this bacteria that infect humans probably only evolved in the last 20 to 10,000 years. So if the bacteria trapped in this amber specimen really are a kind of Yersinia, they likely represent an entirely extinct strain that initially evolved as parasites of rodents, since they would have existed a very long time before the first humans arrived on the scene. Indeed, other amber specimens from the Dominican Republic do preserve hairs from prehistoric rodents, so they are good contenders for being the host animals of this extinct flea and its associated bacteria. However, the paleontologist who described this remarkable specimen is still hesitant to make too many assertive claims about this bacteria, stating that it's impossible to say whether the bacteria were parasites of vertebrate animals such as rodents and were being vectored by the flea, or if they were simply a kind of symbiotic bacteria that lived within the flea itself and did not get passed on to larger animals. Still, the fact that the bacteria were also found on the mouth part of the flea does seem to suggest that they might be passed on to whatever the flea was feeding on. It's another fascinating and very unusual amber discovery that gives us a hint as to how this devastating pathogen, responsible for wiping out around half of Europe's population during the 14th century, might have evolved. Now, please, someone keep John Hammond away from it. So far, we've had the tail of a dinosaur. Now, let's look at an amber specimen that preserves the head, neck, feet, and wing of a dinosaur. Okay, so technically it's a prehistoric bird, but it's been well established for a while now that birds are living dinosaurs. Not just their descendants, but full-on dinosaurs. Anyway, this is still a very ancient kind of bird, dating to about 99 million years ago. It comes from an amber deposit in Myanmar, like the dinosaur tail did too. Trapped inside this 3.4 inch long piece of amber is the partial body of a tiny baby bird. The right foot is preserved in immense detail, being very obvious as it's close to the edge of the amber. It shows some astonishing details of all the tiny scale patterns down the toes, as well as the small feathery bristles between the scales and the little claws. A partial wing is also preserved along with some of the feathers, and although it's difficult to see since it's positioned right in the middle of the amber, which obscures the view a bit, there is a neck and head in here too. The external ear opening and the eyes can be seen, which project out from the sides of the head and are large and bulbous, though it seems the eyelids are mostly closed, with just a small slit open. The researchers scanned the amber specimen to enable them to see more clearly the details of the bones beneath the encased soft tissues, revealing all the parts of the body that are present in this amber tomb. This bird belongs to a prehistoric lineage called the Enantiornithines. This is an entirely extinct group of birds that died out at the end of the Cretaceous period 66 million years ago, when all the other non-bird dinosaurs were also wiped out by the asteroid impact. The Enantiornithines would have looked fairly similar to many modern birds, but they still had teeth in their mouths and claws on their wings. So studying the partial body of a baby Enantiornithine with its soft tissue preserved revealed a lot of interesting things about these birds. The bird inside the amber was almost certainly a very young baby that had probably hatched from its egg just a few days to weeks prior to its death. So the fact that it had wing feathers that were already well developed and suited for flight is particularly interesting, and supports the idea that when Enantiornithines hatched, they were very precocial animals and might even have been immediately capable of flying. Other feathers across this baby bird's body are frozen partway through the process of molting, with the first feathers beginning to erupt from follicles on the neck and head, and very sparse feathering on the legs and belly. So this has also helped scientists to better understand the timing of Enantiornithine birds' plumage development, quite literally providing a frozen snapshot into the first few weeks of a prehistoric bird's life. Amazingly, evidence of colour is also preserved in the feathers of this bird. Overall, the feathers range from dark brown colours to lighter shades of brown, grey and white. So it seems to be a pretty standard kind of colour scheme for a juvenile bird that would have helped to keep it hidden from predators. The body of this hatchling most likely became preserved in this fashion after it was stuck in sticky tree resin and became partially embedded, with bits of the bird that were exposed then getting scavenged and torn off, explaining why some parts of the body are missing. Then more resin flows must have covered the remaining carcass, fully encapsulating the poor bird's body. This baby Enantiornithine specimen truly is another spectacular find, giving us a glimpse into the early life and appearance of a bird that lived almost 100 million years ago. Finally, we come to the most controversial of the amber specimens on this list. In 2020, paleontologists announced to the world that they discovered the holy grail of dinosaur fossils, a tiny dinosaur's head very clearly and perfectly preserved in 99 million-year-old amber from Myanmar. They named this new species of hummingbird-sized apparent dinosaur Oculodentavis cangrei. Looking at its anatomical features, they found that it was a very primitive bird, even more so than the Enantiornithines we just looked at. The paleontologists therefore claimed that we had discovered the smallest known dinosaur to have lived during the Mesozoic era, as Oculodentavis had a skull just 1.73 centimeters long, or about 0.7 inches, making it almost as tiny as the bee hummingbird, the smallest living bird and therefore the smallest dinosaur we know of. However, almost immediately after the paper describing this discovery was published, doubts began to circulate online. Other scientists noticed some suspicious similarities to the anatomy of lizards, and suggested that the paleontologists had actually misidentified Oculodentavis as a bird. But more seriously than this, the widespread media attention garnered by this find brought with it renewed criticism directed at the study of amber fossils from Myanmar. We've covered a few such fossils in this video. The dinosaur tail, baby bird, and Oculodentavis were all excavated from mines in Kachin State in northern Myanmar. So it's clear that these fossils are incredibly scientifically important. However, many paleontologists have voiced their concerns about continuing to purchase and study amber mined in the country, as there were claims that the sale of these fossils was funding the violence in Kachin State. In addition, the conditions in the mines are incredibly dangerous, and underage workers were reportedly being used to dig out the amber in many cases. The publication of Oculodentavis resulted in a great deal of discourse within the paleontological community, and the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology, in April of 2020, therefore issued a statement discouraging scientists from purchasing or studying amber from the country obtained after June 2017, when the Myanmar military took over the area. Other paleontologists criticized this decision, though, arguing that the sale of amber fossils contributed very little to funding the conflict, and insisting that without obtaining such specimens, they would end up being used for carvings or to make jewelry, forever lost to science. However, the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology later issued another letter in June of 2021, suggesting another temporary ban on publishing any Myanmar amber fossils obtained after January 2021. Due to the military coup on the 1st of February that year and the ongoing civil war. It's a complex issue, and a lot of paleontologists clearly feel very strongly about it. And so I thought it was important to at least explain a little bit of the context of these amber fossils. Oculodentavis itself was obtained by scientists prior to the 2017 conflict. However, the other controversy surrounding the specimen, that of its true identity, resulted in the paper describing it to be retracted from the scientific journal it was published in. As it turns out, Oculodentavis was in fact a lizard, not a tiny bird. A second specimen was published in 2021 by a different team of paleontologists proving that this creature was a lizard. This fossil had come from the same mine in Myanmar, again purchased before 2017, and it was classified as a new species of Oculodentavis, which was named Oculodentavis naja. The specimen was a bit more complete than the first one, preserving the neck and some of the body, as well as more soft tissue structures, including scales. The paleontologists who described this other specimen explained how the proportions of the skull of Oculodentavis do indeed look weirdly bird-like, with a long tapering snout and big eyes, but that upon examining the more detailed features of the skull anatomy, it becomes quite clear that it resembles a lizard far more than a bird. Oculodentavis is still a pretty bizarre lizard, however, since it convergently evolved very bird-like proportions. It was presumably a tree climber, since it ended up trapped in tree resin, and it might have used its large eyes and long tapering snout to spot and quickly snap at small, fast-moving insects. So, Oculodentavis is another interesting, if controversial, amber discovery. The publication of this animal highlighted some major ugly truths about the human cost of fossil excavation, and whatever you think of the decision to halt the study of more recently extracted amber specimens from Myanmar, it's an important discussion in the science of paleontology. So, there are five examples of prehistoric animals found trapped in amber. Discoveries such as these really are some of the most fascinating types of fossils that can be uncovered, preserving animals frozen in a moment in time for millions and millions of years. Given how extraordinary some of the finds featured in this video already are, it's conceivable that it's now just a matter of waiting until something like a complete non-bird dinosaur head ends up being found in a piece of amber. That would be unbelievably exciting, and could provide us with so much information about the life appearance of these extinct beasts. Who would need a real-life Jurassic Park if we had that? Okay, so maybe I would still want to go to Jurassic Park. Anyway, before I end this video, I want to mention some amazing science-themed notebooks that you can get 10% off on using our affiliate link in the description. Atoms to Astronauts creates some wonderfully designed books that would make a fantastic Christmas present for any science lover, and there are so many different themes to choose from. Funnily enough, I actually already had their paleontology notebook before they reached out to us, so I can genuinely say I love these books. There are loads of cool details on the covers, such as text from the 1842 meeting that created the name Dinosauria, and Othniel Charles Marsh's illustration of Stegosaurus's skeleton. I love their evolution and geology notebooks too, which include details such as text from On the Origin of Species, Darwin's first known sketch of an evolutionary tree, and on the geology notebook, a seismograph of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. So if you'd like to buy your own, be sure to check out the link in the description. Anyway, thank you so much for watching. Please do like this video and subscribe to the channel if you enjoyed it, and be sure to press that bell icon so you don't miss our next upload, and so you can learn more about our world, its history, and the wonderful life that surrounds us all.